see each of you here tonight. Thank you for coming out on this Father's Day Sunday night. So good to be here, though. We're still in the house of the Lord, and we can worship Him. And we're going to begin with number 532 in our hymnals, God of Our Fathers, 532. And let's go ahead and stand. We'll sing together. Are you going to give us the fanfare? Father, we thank you for all that you have done for us as a nation, as a church, as families and individuals. We recognize your provision, your protection, and most of all, the salvation that you have given to us through the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that we can meet together here tonight and have fellowship together as believers, and to sing your praises, and to praise your name. And we pray that you'd help us as we consider your word as well. We pray that you would speak to us by your Holy Spirit. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, once again, welcome to each and every one of you. Thank you for coming tonight. And happy Father's Day again to all the fathers. Hope you had a good day. And that you were honored in some way. I know I was, so thankful for that. And got a nice birthday card, or Father's Day card, with a giant Kit Kat bar in it. Provided by one of the Sunday school teachers. So I did share it with the family. So Okay. Yeah, it was very divisible into different parts. All right. Well, we'll take a few moments for testimonies in a little bit. So be thinking of something you could share, just an answer to prayer or blessing. And we'll have time for that in a few moments. As far as our announcements go, this week we're having VBS. We limited it this year just to about 25, which we have actually a little bit more than that. And so thankful for that. And so just pray for that. It's every night this week, 5 days. It'll be 6:30 to 8:30. And ages 4 to 12 for the kids. And, you know, as I said this morning, we could take some more. It's just if they could have an adult come with them, just so we can control the crowd a little better. But so just pray for that. And that's what all this is about here. This is the island. I'm on the island, I think. And this is the treasure box here. So we're going to be finding out what's inside that each night this week, the treasure. And we'll see what we can find there. Let's see, other announcements. No prayer meeting. We're not going to have prayer meeting this week because of VBS, since we're meeting every night, but appreciate your prayers for it. Next Sunday, we're planning a special congregational meeting after the Sunday morning service. And the elders are presenting to the congregation information about an intern assistant position and potentially vote on whether to pursue that. There is a summary handout that's available, so just encourage you to look at that. And we'll discuss that. If you have any other questions, please let me know or one of the elders. But this is something we've been talking about for several months, and to the point where we'd like to present this to the congregation and discuss it some more at that point. July 4th is on a Sunday this year, if you haven't noticed, and we are planning to have services Sunday evening. We're planning to have an outdoor Sunday evening picnic. We're going to be here on the grounds, except outside at 6:30, and so just encourage you to bring a picnic for yourself, your family. This isn't necessarily a potluck, although you can share if you want to, but just bring a picnic for yourself, and we'll be outside, and we'll have a time of fellowship, singing, prayer for our country, and a time in God's Word, and it'll just be outside. I don't think I know of any fireworks that we'd be able to see from here unless somebody brings them and we can shoot them off here, but so you may have to find your own afterwards, but so that's the plan for July 4th, Sunday. And then July 11th, after the Sunday morning service, there's a 50th anniversary reception for Alan and Marlene Ray. Their 50th anniversary was June the 12th, I think, and so we congratulate them, and their family is planning this for them, and inviting others, inviting the church, and it will involve a meal after the Sunday morning service. And so there's a invitation on the bulletin board you can take a look at, but that's coming up as well on July the 11th. I will mention also on July 11th in the evening service, we'll be having John McLean, who is the pastoral intern at Fallsbury and Bible Church in Cuyahoga Falls. He is going to be the speaker for Junior Week 2, and he's going to be speaking here the Sunday night service right before that, which is July 11th, but that's the evening service. So I've asked him to speak, and that's one of my duties as Junior Week 2 director, is to select the speaker, and so I've asked him to speak. Some of you might know his family, the McLean family. At some point, his older sisters come here with their families. They're Davises, though. Rachel and Joy Davis, those are John's older sisters. But John is, again, he's the pastoral intern there at Fallsbury and Bible Church. So he's going to be speaking that Sunday night. We have some materials that have come in for some more gospel packages, and we'd like to get some more made up. Last year, if you remember, we made up 700. They had a tract with them that was kind of a election type tract, Who America Needs. And we're going to be putting a Gospel of John and a tract and a church brochure in a package. And we'd like to get 1,200 of those packaged up. And like this. The tract is called Fear Not. It kind of has to do with the coronavirus pandemic. And it's a gospel tract. And then you have the Gospel of John. And then we also have a church brochure that we're going to put in that. And we just like to have these to give out in our community or for other folks to have to give out to their friends, their neighbors. And so we'd like to package those up. If you see in the foyer as you came in, there's, I think, four kits. They're red, white, and blue bags, and it has materials for about 100 packages. They're not made up, but we're asking if somebody, maybe even here tonight, could take one of those bags and at home package them up and bring them back here. That would be a big help. We'd at least be able to get 500. We had one taker this morning, and so if we could get some more, that would be great. So we'd like to package those things up. Okay. Missionary letter here from the Kilmers in our bulletins. I'm going to read that. They serve in South Africa. This is their most recent prayer letter. Don and Karen Kilmer. Dear friends, on Sunday afternoon I went out megaphone preaching and soul winning. The other guys who usually go with me had things going they needed to attend to. It is the first time I did the megaphone preaching by myself for quite a while. However, this isn't a problem. I preached at three places and also witnessed to some folks. My one preaching point was near a taxi stop. Most of our taxis here are maxi vans and have set rates for certain destinations. As a lot of people in South Africa don't drive, these taxis go everywhere and the fees are reasonable. After preaching from John 1:29, I went to those who were waiting for a taxi. There were five people waiting at this stop. As I handed out gospel tracts, I said, "This is a pamphlet from the Bible, which speaks about Jesus and forgiveness." They all took a gospel tract, but one chap asked why I was forcing this on people and why I wanted money. Now, that was quite an accusation, especially since I didn't ask for money. But I assumed he thought I was a Jehovah's Witness, false witness, he put, as they often ask for money when giving out literature. I explained I'm not a JW and was not asking for money. This young chap in his 20s was named Fisakul, meaning good desire, and he showed good interest. I also explained I'm not trying to force this on anyone, but simply encouraging them to think ahead and prepare for eternity. He admitted he is unsaved and said he is confused about why there are so many churches. I explained that all churches use the Bible, but they don't all follow it. He said that made sense, as various churches he had attended didn't really follow the Bible. He wanted to know what it meant to be saved, and of course I was happy to oblige. Here's a brief synopsis of our conversation. I explained he needed to see that after death there are just two places. Heaven is a wonderful place of peace and perfection, Revelation 21:27. Because heaven is perfect, we have a problem. God can't let us in or our sin would ruin heaven. Due to sin, we each deserve to go to hell, Romans 3:23, Revelation 21:8. However, in his love, God made a way to forgive us. He sent his son Jesus to take our sin, John 3:16. Because Jesus is God the Son, he lived a perfect life, but some evil people hated him and killed him by crucifixion on a cross. Jesus died to take our sin and remove God's wrath, Romans 5:8 and 9, 1 Corinthians 15:3 and 4. If you want this forgiveness, God asks for two things. One, you need to believe in your heart that Jesus died for your sin and arose. This belief is a repentant belief. It isn't about changing your own life or turning over a new leaf. It is coming to Jesus for him to take your sin, give you his righteousness, and a new life. Then you call to God in prayer, confessing you are a sinner and want his salvation, Romans 10:9 and 10, John 1:12. He said he wanted to do better works as he does things aren't right. I repeated that it isn't about changing your own life, but coming to Jesus rather than trusting in yourself or a church or family. You put your trust in Jesus and him alone. You no longer want to follow your way or the way of other people, but God's way through Jesus. However, you see, you have no power to change your life and follow Jesus, so you come to Him and trust in Him and ask Him to forgive you and save you and give you a new life. 2 Corinthians 5:17. He said he would think about it and maybe visit us at church. Standing next to him, also waiting for a taxi, was a prostitute. She didn't tell me she was one, but her attire and the way she carried herself made it clear. She accepted a gospel tract, but as I was talking to Good Desire, she moved a short distance away to make it clear she wasn't interested. When the taxi came, she crumpled up her tract and threw it on the ground before getting in. If she gets saved, she will most likely make a strong Christian. Due to a computer update, I lost a good portion of my address book. If you know of someone who should be getting this email but isn't, please let me know and send me their name and email address. Also, if your name isn't clear in your email address, please respond and give me your name, as I currently only have email addresses for people in my address book. Praise for the continued opportunities to minister to people, for a good semester of teaching at the Bible Institute. Our school year runs with the calendar year and starts in January. Don taught Old Testament survey, and Karen taught sewing and baking. Prayer requests for the salvation of so many we witness to, for the believers in our church to be strong in the Lord. Family pressure here is strong, and many find it hard to stand against the push to conform to traditional ways. For the Lord to raise up faithful men and women among the Zulus to serve Him, for the Lord to raise up more missionaries to reach the Zulu people, please remember to pray for us at 11:11 as well as at your regular prayer times. May God's grace keep you strong for Him. Uncle Don and Auntie Karen. All right. Okay. Anybody have a testimony tonight? Anything you'd like to share? Any praises or answers to prayer? Prayer requests? Yes, Mr. Margraff.
Praise my mother. Good results, could have been better results, but she's praising the Lord. She had good results. In addition, we just praise the Lord for our new grandson. And his name's right in front of me. I forgot it already. His middle name is Jeremiah. Arthur Jeremiah is his name. So we just thank the Lord for his safe delivery. And his mom is, my daughter is doing well. And also pray for Ron Schreiber. She's still struggling. She's suffering from dementia. So pray for him, or her.
All right. So praise new grandson for the Margraffs. And that's Amanda and Ron Hewish. They had another son, Arthur Jeremiah. And they're doing well. So we praise the Lord for that. And your mother, you said, was she had a good result. Okay. Heart test came out well. So praise the Lord for that. For Ron's mother. All right. Anyone else tonight? Mrs. Ray. Some friends and family have been invited to the anniversary reception. Hopefully they'll come to church. Pray that they would come to church as well, the service. Okay. Anyone else tonight? Anybody else with a testimony? Thing? Yes, Pastor Gossman.
As a father, it's a special blessing to have daughters that don't seem to remember the failures that a lot of you for your for being a dad to them, and it's just a special blessing to have that. And then every year, I get a Father's Day text from my son. He looked at me and said, I know you had a son, but a lot of years ago, there was a young man that after the morning service wanted to talk to me. Down in the kitchen there, he received Christ as a Savior. That was Lee Shelton. And every year he sends me that text, Happy Father's Day. And it's one blessing to have a spiritual children as well as the honor to as well as those that are like the flesh.
Amen. Thank you. All right, anybody else tonight? Anybody else? Yes. Amen. Thank you very much. Good to have Laura June here tonight. Anyone else tonight? Anything else you'd like to share? Mr. Ray. Thank you. All right, anyone else? Any other testimonies tonight? We did get a set of wireless handheld microphones here, so we haven't installed them yet, but Soon, we can pass those around, and maybe you can be heard a little better. So it might take some adjustment, I know, but Just be forewarned. All right. Anyone else? Okay. Well, let's sing another hymn here tonight. We're going to go to 493, Since the Savior Found Me. 493. And let's all stand as we sing. 493. Take your Bibles, if you would, and turn to Judges chapter 14. Judges chapter 14. Judges chapter 14. As we continue on here in the book of Judges, we are in the account of Samson. We started Samson last week. We looked at the birth of Samson in Judges chapter 13. And we saw how gracious and sovereign and incomprehensible God is, as he sent this announcement to Manoah and his wife about the fact they were going to have a baby, that God was going to use him to begin to deliver Israel from the Philistines. And for whatever reason, God felt that Manoah needed a lesson in his incomprehensibility. You remember that angel of the Lord came, and Manoah had all these questions. And he wanted to know everything, it seems. And finally, God had to say, it's a secret. And that word is that word for wonderful, beyond human comprehension. And I just wonder if Manoah needed that lesson, especially. And we need that at times as well, that who hath known the mind of the Lord, who has been his counselor? And there's a depth to the ways of God that no one can comprehend. And so we left that lesson, and chapter 13 ends with the birth of Samson. God fulfilled his word, and Samson was born. And now we come to chapter 14, and we expect, as we've seen these judges, that God would begin to use Samson. And Samson, we expect him to begin to rally an army and to go against the Philistines. But that's not what we read here. In fact, we read about a wedding. Here is a wedding. And that's what chapter 14 is about. That's what we're going to consider here tonight. Let's look at chapter 14, verse 1. Samson went down to Timnath and saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. And he came up and told his father and his mother and said, I have seen a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore get her for me to wife. And his father and his mother said unto him, Is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren or among all my people that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines? And Samson said unto his father, Get her for me, for she pleaseth me well. But his father and his mother knew not that it was of the Lord that he sought an occasion against the Philistines. For at that time the Philistines had dominion over Israel. Then went Samson down and his father and his mother to Timnath and came to the vineyards of Timnath. And behold, a young lion roared against him. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he rent him as he would have rent a kid. And he had nothing in his hand, but he told not his father or his mother what he had done. And he went down and talked with the woman, and she pleased Samson well. And after a time he returned to take her, and he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion. And behold, there was a swarm of bees and honey in the carcass of the lion. And he took thereof in his hands and went on eating, and came to his father and mother, and he gave them, and they did eat. But he told not them that he had taken the honey out of the carcass of the lion. So his father went down unto the woman. Samson made there a feast, for so used the young man to do, the young men to do. And it came to pass when they saw him that they brought 30 companions to be with him. And Samson said unto them, I will now put forth a riddle unto you. If ye certainly declare it me within the 7 days of the feast and find it out, I will give you 30 sheets and 30 changes of garments. But if ye cannot deliver it me, then shall ye give me 30 sheets and 30 changes of garments. And they said unto him, Put forth thy riddle, that we may hear it. And he said unto them, Out of the eater came forth meat, and out of the strong came forth sweetness. And they could not in 3 days expound the riddle. It came to pass on the seventh day that they said unto Samson's wife, Entice thy husband, that he may declare unto us the riddle, lest we burn thee and thy father's house with fire. Have ye called us to take that we have? Is it not so? Samson's wife wept before him and said, Thou dost but hate me and lovest me not. Thou hast put forth a riddle unto the children of my people and hast not told it me. He said unto her, Behold, I have not told it my father nor my mother. Shall I tell it thee? And she wept before him the 7 days while their feast lasted. And it came to pass on the seventh day that he told her, because she lay sore upon him. And she told the riddle to the children of her people. And the men of the city said unto him on the seventh day before the sun went down, What is sweeter than honey? And what is stronger than a lion? And he said unto them, If ye had not plowed with my heifer, ye had not found out my riddle. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he went down to Ashkelon and slew 30 men of them, and took their spoil, and gave change of garments unto them, which expounded the riddle, and his anger was kindled, and he went up to his father's house. But Samson's wife was given to his companion, whom he had used as his friend. So we see in verses 1 through 4, Samson's girlfriend, and the main criteria that Samson had was, it seems, the externals. It says that she pleased him well. Literally, Hebrew words are, she was right to his eyes. He was looking on the outward appearance mainly, not so much on the inward, it seems. Samson's parents aren't so sure. They're asking him, hey, can't you choose a woman from the Israelites? You have to go to the Philistines to find a wife? Is that what you should do? But we see here verse 4, very importantly, his father and his mother knew not that it was of the Lord that he sought an occasion against the Philistines. For at that time, the Philistines had dominion over Israel. And that means that through this, God was working out his plan. God was working out his plan. God's ultimate goal here was an occasion against the Philistines. That was what God was working towards. An occasion, an opportunity to deal with the Philistines. Now, of course, the Bible is very clear that God cannot be blamed for sin. You can't blame God for sin. James 1:13. Let no man say when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. So we can't blame God for Samson's behavior here. But we can say that God was working out his plan. God's plan was to have an opportunity against the Philistines. And God's plan will not be frustrated. And He will bring that to pass, whether His servants are willing or whether they're unwilling at times. He will accomplish His plan. It was to deal with the Philistines. You know, Samson's parents seem to go along with it here. And we see them going ahead and going down to meet this woman, and to his father even is attending the wedding. And you know, it is commendable that Samson asked his parents about this. And so they're having to sort through this and figure out what should they do. And okay, well, let's go meet this girl and see what she's like. And so they. You know, I'm sure they appreciated that, at least, that Samson asked his parents about this. He talked to them about it. There could have been other ways to go about it, but he did ask. You know, here we see an important reminder for all the boys and girls and even adults, and that is to listen to your parents. Listen to what your parents say. Listen to what your parents say. Listen to the counsel of your mom and dad. What did Samson's parents have to say? They really questioned him. Can't you find a wife from the Israelites? And maybe Samson should have thought, you know, maybe I can. Maybe I can. Maybe I should do that. You know, I need to listen to my parents. But he shouldn't have been looking for a wife except from within God's people. God had already stated very clearly what He wanted. You know, the Bible has some very clear expectations for us when it comes to our relationships, and that is to not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. 2 Corinthians 6 says that, and of course that applies in marriage. When it comes time to look for a spouse, a husband or a wife, the very most important criteria should be, do they know the Lord? Are they truly saved? Are they living for Him? That's basic. Nobody should be trying to find a spouse or even dating anybody, trying to go out with somebody that's not really saved, that doesn't really have any kind of spiritual life. So remember that. Okay. And hopefully you'll get some other reminders about that too when it comes closer. Don't be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. We also learn here that God can still accomplish His plans through seemingly bad and foolish choices. Have you ever made a bad choice? Have you ever made a foolish choice? You look back and you think, why did I do that? Why did I choose that? At the end of this chapter, I think Samson was thinking that. I don't know for sure, but if I could imagine what Samson's thoughts were, it would have been, why did I do that? Why did I try to marry this girl? This is just bad news. And, you know, sometimes people have these choices they make and they think, you know, this was foolish. This was not good. And maybe you find yourself in that position or you look at somebody else, your children, and what they are doing. And you think, this is not good. This is foolish of them. Why are they doing that? Or maybe a friend, and you can see how they're living their life and it's just foolish choices, one right after the other. And of course, they're still accountable for those things. But this chapter shows us that God can work all things together for good. He can still accomplish His plan, even in spite of foolish choices that people make. That's exactly what He's doing here in Samson's life. So then we come to Samson and the lion here. Samson and his parents, actually, verse 5. His father and mother, they're going down to Timnath. He comes to the vineyards of Timnath, and behold, a young lion roared against him. And it seems that at some point he got separated from his parents, and he goes into this vineyard. Why was he going to the vineyard? We don't know. It's questionable. What do people do in a vineyard? What's in a vineyard? You can imagine maybe, but we don't know for sure. But in the midst of this, he encounters this roaring lion. A roaring lion. How'd you like to encounter a roaring lion all by yourself? That would be scary. A roaring lion would be bad news for you if it's just you and the roaring lion. One commentator points out that this roaring nomadic lion is perhaps the most dangerous instance of the world's dominant land predator that one could possibly encounter. But Samson encounters this lion, and it says that he rent the lion. The Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he rent him as he would have rent a kid, a young goat. This word rent is used in the book of Leviticus for what a priest would do with a sacrificial animal, a bird, I think, in Leviticus 1. Where they would take the carcass, maybe the legs of that animal, and rip it apart. And it may be that's what Samson did to this young lion. Take that lion by his hind legs and tear it apart, just like that. He rent that lion in two. Samson seems to have been a man that had some strength at all times. If you remember, some of you know the story, chapter 16, we'll get there. But it was when Samson's hair was cut that his strength totally left him. It seems that while he had this long hair, he had a measure of strength at different times. He was a strong man. And yet there were times when the Spirit of the Lord gave him even more strength. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him here, as the word came mightily. The idea is rushed upon him or came forcefully on Samson and enabled him to tear this lion apart by its hind legs. So he did that, and then he comes down and talks to this woman. And then he's on his way back, verse 8, and he sees the carcass of this lion. And behold, there was a swarm of bees and honey in the carcass of the lion. He took thereof in his hands and went on eating and came to his father and mother, and he gave them. And they did eat, but he told not them that he had taken the honey out of the carcass of the lion. Some people believe that he violated his Nazirite vow when he touched the carcass of the lion. If you remember, that has to do with the Nazirite vow, not touching the dead. Although it may be that he didn't violate the vow, with the vow only having to do with the bodies of human people, dead bodies of human people. But that's where he finds this honey. Remember, the land of Israel is a land flowing with milk and honey. It wasn't that unusual to find good sources of honey everywhere. And there's this honey. He takes it. He takes some home to his parents. And what do we make of that? You know, it kind of reminds us of something that happened in the life of David. What did David do when he was a shepherd boy that he talks about? Well, he was able to kill a lion and a bear while he was taking care of the sheep. He defended his father's sheep from a lion and a bear. And it was that it seems in David's life used him to, it was something God used to be a step in his life to help him take on even more service for the Lord. And it may be that's what this was in Samson's life. He has this experience with this lion. He's able to supernaturally rip this lion apart. And perhaps it's an encouragement for Samson to lead him to an even greater act of service. And perhaps God was doing that in his life. Now, I doubt that God's going to allow you to supernaturally rip a lion apart. I doubt it. Maybe. Just remember, grab it by the hind legs, tear it apart. But, you know, God may give you an opportunity to serve the Lord in some way. And it's an encouragement for you. You say, hey, maybe I can try something else. If I can do this, maybe I can do something else. And I think that's sometimes the way that God works. He gives us something that we can do. Maybe it went well. We were somewhat successful. Okay, that leads to maybe trying something else. And, you know, young people need to have those opportunities. And they need to be encouraged, especially, to pursue them and see how the Lord uses them and believe that maybe the Lord might use them in another way. Perhaps that's what God was doing. And we also see that God plans what we encounter in life. Why did God allow Samson to come across this lion and then to come back and see this honey here and to eat this honey out of this carcass? Well, we know what happens next. It was that experience that led to this riddle at this wedding feast. And it was that riddle that led to Samson getting an opportunity to go and kill 30 Philistines, actually. And God used that. God put that in his path. And the things that we encounter in life are put there by God. And perhaps the Lord will use them. So then we come to this wedding here and the riddle. Samson supplied with some groomsmen. Evidently, he didn't bring any groomsmen. His father came with him, and they gave him these 30 companions. And they're there at this feast, and he says he's got a riddle. He has a riddle. Verse 12, Samson said to them, I will now put forth a riddle unto you. If ye can certainly declare it within the 7 days of the feast and find it out, I will give you 30 sheets and 30 changes of garments. But if not, they will have to do it for him. This riddle, it's a hard question of some sort. An enigma. Matthew Henry says the truth is that Samson himself was a riddle. A paradox of a man. He did that which was really great and good by that which was seemingly weak and evil. And what we find here is Samson is a man with literary gifts, and he puts out these poems at various times. But he states the riddle, verse 14. Here it is. He said unto them, out of the eater came forth meat, out of the strong came forth sweetness. Out of the eater came forth meat. The word meat here is not meat like hamburger or steak. It's a word that's just talking about food. Out of the eater came forth food. Out of the strong came forth sweetness. And I think maybe the King James translators were trying to, you know, put it to a rhyme a little bit between meat and sweet. The ESV puts it this way. Out of the eater came something to eat. Out of the strong came something sweet. Eater and eat, those two words are related. Two Hebrew words. But that's what they had to try to figure out. Of course, we know what Samson is trying to he's referring to. The Philistines don't know. And, you know, these Philistines, they're really not interested in the experience of putting their brains to work and figuring out what Samson could be referring to. They try something a little more intense here, and what they do is they threaten Samson's wife. Verse 15, it came to pass on the seventh day that they said unto Samson's wife, entice thy husband that he may declare us the riddle, lest we burn thee and thy father's house with fire. So they are threatening. We're going to come and burn you and your father's house. And so they say you need to go and entice Samson. Now, that's a word we're going to find again in chapter 16. There's another woman that does that, Delilah. Same word is used, entice. Samson is a man that's susceptible to that. And so Samson's wife really lays it on thick, and she's crying and really throwing a big fit. And he finally gives in. Verse 17, she wept before him the 7 days while their feast lasted. And it came to pass on the seventh day that he told her, because she lay sore on him, and she told the riddle to the children of her people. And the men guessed correctly, but Samson is very unhappy about how this came about, and he has to pay up. And so, verse 19, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he went down to Ashkelon and slew 30 men of them, and took their spoil and gave the change of garments unto them, which expounded the riddle, and his anger was kindled, and he went up to his father's house. But Samson's wife was given to his companion, whom he had used as his friend. You know, to us, it sounds a little bit strange that somebody would go and kill 30 people. I mean, can you imagine that if somebody here, we heard about that in our community, they go down to, say somebody here goes up to Mansfield and kills 30 people in Mansfield. You think, that's horrible. That's an atrocity. But you got to remember here that the Philistines are the enemy. All right, this is an act of war. God is using Samson to begin to remove the oppression here of the Philistines. It's like when we talk about Ehud and his assassination of Eglon. You know, that was not just somebody going into some town and killing somebody. That was an act of war, which was permissible here at that time. Then we find out Samson's wife is given away to his companion he had used as his friend. And that sets us up for chapter 15, which is even more revenge of Samson against the Philistines. You know, Samson thought that he could get involved with the enemy, and he thought that he could outwit them and he could outsmart them. And he thought that he would be okay. We can't do that. We can't be in close association with the enemy. Samson underestimated the enemy and overestimated himself. We see how this ended here. It ended in great bitterness. And he goes home without his new wife. And his wife is given away. And this was a very troublesome and tragic situation. You know, you might think that you can go into a place of great temptation and withstand it. You might think you can go into a place where there's great opportunity for the flesh to be fulfilled in very many different ways. And you think, okay, I can handle this. I can do this. It's fine. I'll be fine. That's kind of like how Samson was thinking. He thought, okay, I can deal with these Philistines. You know, I'm going to tell them this riddle and outsmart them. And he didn't take into account what they were like and how nasty they were. They were nasty people. Beware the danger of close association with the enemy. Here we see also that God can humble us with the trouble that we have brought ourselves into. God may allow us to have bad experiences with people and situations to help us, actually, to not put as much confidence in those people and situations. I think that's what was going on with Samson here. God used the situation to show him something about the Philistines. They can't be trusted. Can't trust the Philistines. And it riled Samson up. And he had a little bit different attitude towards the Philistines now. He viewed them more as the enemy. But God may humble us with the trouble that we brought ourselves into. God may need to break somebody before He can use them, as He does here with Samson. Maybe it's with a particular career that a person has pursued, and they get into that and they realize, you know, this is not right. Or maybe with a relationship like Samson got into, and they get into that and they realize how troublesome that was and how much trouble they brought themselves into by getting into that particular relationship. And on the other side of that, they realize even more how much they need to trust the Lord. How little confidence they can have in other people or with their own abilities to handle a situation. God sometimes humbles us with the trouble that we have brought ourselves into. One commentator said, soured by the Philistines' devious behavior, humiliated Samson was finally at a point where the Lord could effectively use him. Once Samson was broken and humiliated by what he had gotten into, we see chapter 15, this is the point where God really is able to use him in a greater way. God brings him to a low point, and it's there that God actually uses him in a great way. And so that's a lesson that we have to learn, and it may have to be learned again by Samson even. But Samson's wedding here probably turned out to be an experience that he would rather forget. And maybe some of you have had experiences like that. But from a chapter like this, we can see that God can use those experiences. We can learn from past mistakes, like Samson did. And through those experiences, we can come to have even more confidence, not in ourselves or in other people, but in the Lord and what He's able to do for us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You that You're a sovereign God, that You are a God who can even work through our troublesome circumstances and even the wrong choices that we've made, work things out for good. We thank You for how we see that in the life of Samson here. We pray that You'd help us to be careful of our own confidence, our own flesh. We know that we're all weak people, and we pray that our confidence would be in the Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take our hymnals as we close. We'll go to 393. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. 393. Let's stand as we sing. Take my life and let it be. Tonight, may the Lord bless you. We're dismissed.